everyone. This is Tony Beckler, and welcome to another program in the series on ACB Radio's main menu about Telnet. Today I will begin a series of programs on a protocol on the Internet known as Telnet. First, in this program, I'll explain briefly what Telnet is and what its abilities are, and I'll finally end up by spending about 20 minutes on the built-in Windows Telnet client. For the second program, I'll be showing you a console mode Telnet application which runs in a DOS box under Windows, which I'll explain more about in the next program. On the third program, I'll be demonstrating another Windows Telnet client called TerraTerm Pro, because I find it to be much more accessible and has many more features than Windows 95, 98, etc. built-in Telnet client. And also in the third program, I will show you that, yes, bulletin board systems, or BBSs as they used to be called, are still very much alive, and how you can connect and access them. What is Telnet? Telnet, briefly, is an internet protocol. Other examples of internet protocols include FTP, HTTP, also known as the web, Real Audio, which is designated by PNM for progressive networks, now known as Real Networks, or RTSP for indicating a streaming protocol, and even Windows Media uses its own internet protocol. So just what is exactly Telnet and why is it special? Well, I was doing a little research before I began creating this feature, and I found that Telnet has actually been around since 1971, making it far older than most other protocols on the Internet to my knowledge. Actually, it was invented before we even had what is called the Internet. In those days, it was called the ARPANET, A-R-P-A, because it was funded and ran by the United States military. Anyway, so why do we need Telnet? Well, nowadays, Telnet is far less popular than it used to be, simply because we have the web, and so many things that you used to have to do by Telnet are now done exclusively on the World Wide Web, and there just isn't the demand for it anymore like there used to be. However, there are still many useful things that you can do with Telnet, and Telnet is far from dead. For example, in this program, I'll be showing you how to check your email with Telnet. Yes, you can do that. SMTP, or the Simple Mail Transport Protocol, and POP3, or the Post Office Protocol, which basically are the protocols you use to send and receive email, can also be accessed with Telnet and are also considered internet protocols. They've been around a very long time also, but I believe Telnet is even older than they are. Anyway, if you are on a Linux or Unix system and you have a shell account, this first section will be very basic to you because you already know about your built-in Telnet client. To get to that, you simply type Telnet and hit enter, or Telnet in a site like telnetexample.com and hit enter, or you may type man, M-A-N, followed by a space and the word Telnet and hit enter for instructions on how to use your implementation of the Telnet protocol, or in other words, your Telnet client. For this review, I'll be using WindowEyes 4.11 and the Eloquent Software Speech Synthesizer. Some examples of what you used to be able to do with Telnet include things like, many years ago, it's now gone, unfortunately, before Web Braille, you used to be able to Telnet to the Library of Congress and search the holdings of the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, also known as NLS. Another common thing you used to be able to do is search university law libraries. For example, if you had a certain code or law number, etc., this is, of course, in the United States, but you could do similar things in other countries. You could Telnet to certain law libraries and enter that information, either find out more information about the law in question or find books on the subject. Speaking of books, you could search other public libraries and see what their holdings were. This is similar in a way to Gopher, if anyone still remembers what Gopher is, but not exactly the same, because Telnet was completely command-line based, and in a sense you were connecting to a terminal. An example might be, for those of you who do have shell accounts, or who understand what shell accounts are, you could Telnet to an outgoing computer on the internet and log into another shell account on a different server, or things of that nature. This, by the way, is what allows us to use Telnet to connect to bulletin board systems, because essentially all we're doing is the same as what you used to be doing when you'd use your dial-up modem and connect to BBSs. Anyway, now on to the review. Okay, I've now turned on WindowEyes and set for Eloquent Speech. And to get to this program, the way I prefer to use, because it is the simplest, is to hold down the Windows key and hit R. So I'll do that.
Combo edit box. O equals open.
And the open dialog comes up. So I will type Telnet. I have my keyboard echo turned off, so you won't be able to actually hear me type Telnet. And I'll press Enter.
Static box. Disabled. Desktop. Telnet none.
And it says Telnet none. That means that there's no open connection. Now, to briefly go through the menus, I won't spend a whole lot of time on this program because it is very limited and really considered a dumb terminal because it does not support ANSI graphics or anything beyond very basic ASCII text. A dumb terminal is a term used for a terminal that basically has very, very basic display abilities, which the Windows Telnet client does, unfortunately. The other two programs are not so limited, and I'll get into that more probably in the second program. But anyway, if you hit the Alt key, we have
C equals connect pull down.
Connect.
E equals edit pull down.
Edit.
T equals terminal pull down.
Terminal.
H equals help pull down.
And help. Okay, I'll briefly go back into the connect menu.
C equals connect pull down.
And I'll hit the down arrow. We have
R equals remote system dialog.
That's obviously what you'd use to connect to the remote system. Now, if you notice, there's no, at least I've not found it, there's no shortcut key to get into this. So you have to hit Alt-C and R and Enter every time, or just Alt-C, Enter. But there is no hotkey, so to speak. Now I'll hit down arrow.
D equals disconnect disabled.
Obviously, you can't disconnect if you're not connected, which we aren't, so I'll keep going.
X equals exit Alt F4.
And we have exit.
1 equals 1.
And there's a recent list of other Telnet sites that we visited below the exit. Which is what you were hearing before with the one and all that. So I hit the right arrow.
Menu closed. C equals copy disabled.
And we have the edit menu. We have copy, cut, etc.
A equals copy all.
Copy all, and so forth. So apparently what you can do is highlight things in your Telnet application and copy them to the clipboard. I have not done that. I would presume it would work, but actually what I'd prefer to do is create a log, which I believe is later on in the menus. So I'm actually just hitting up arrow now to run through the edit menu.
S equals select all. P equals paste disk. C equals copy. F equals copy all.
And we're back to copy. So it's very, very, very limited, as I've said before. And I'll get out of that.
Menu. T equals terminal pull down.
And now we're in terminal, so hit down arrow.
P equals preferences. Dial. L equals start logging. Dialog.
This is how you start logging. If you want to capture your entire session to disk, you would go into this and start logging. Of course, there are also the preferences, but there really isn't much useful there. If we have time, I'll briefly run through that real quick. And of course, you have start logging and
S equals stop logging.
Stop logging. So that is how you turn off the log. And by the way, logs can get very, very large depending on the sites you visit. And if you are accessing a search thing or something like this, the menus can be long, and everything that goes on the screen goes into the log file, so please keep that in mind, because you could have a huge log file without realizing it, and I have done that before.
P equals preferences.
And we're back to preferences, and that's basically it for the menus. Go right arrow.
H equals help pull down. Menu closed. H equals help
top. And we're in the help menu, and I'll get out of the
menu. Menu closed.
Okay, so now you're probably wondering, how do we actually connect to a Telnet site now that we know basically what this program does? Well, I'm using WindowEyes. I'm not sure how JAWS for Windows does this, but what I've discovered is the best way is to connect to the site, then turn Speak All on, and then use a mouse cursor to navigate through what is on the screen. And I'll show you this. If you turn Speak All on first, you'll get a bunch of garbage, and then when it does pop up on the screen, it won't actually read the welcome message when you connect to the site anyway, so you end up turning Speak All off and on, and you still end up using your mouse cursor, and it ends up being very annoying. So I'll briefly show you this real quick. I'll turn Speak All on, and then I'll go into Connect and Remote, which to do that I hit Alt-C-R, or simply I can hold down Alt and then press C and hit Enter. But I have to go through the menu, so I'll hit Alt-C-Enter. I'll type in a Telnet site. Actually, I'll show you first how to check your email with Telnet. And so I'll enter the POP3 address of my mail server, and then I'll press Enter. Now, what you're going to hear is it's going to say graphic and a bunch of other things, but you won't actually be able to hear the welcome message until you sit through all that. And then, as I've said, I'll show you with the mouse cursor I usually hit the 3 on the numeric keypad, which takes me to the bottom right, and then I hit the 8 or the up arrow a few times to see what's on the screen, and then I can pretty well gauge where I am. Also, another problem with this that affects WindowEyes, I'm not sure about JFW, is that text tends to scroll on the screen a line or two at a time, so what you get is it reads everything on the screen when the bottom line of the screen changes. In other words, if you have a very long message, it will read the whole long message every single time a line gets dropped off the top, and so to speak, in a new line, it gets written to the bottom, and that can be very, very annoying, which is why I do not recommend using this Windows Telnet client, but it is very basic, and it does get the job done. So anyway, I will now go into the email site of my POP3 server, and I'll let you hear this. So first you'll hear speak all going on, and then you'll hear me connect.
Speak all on. C equals connect. R equals remote. Menu closed. Combo. Edit box. H equals host name. Combo. Edit box. P equals port telnet. C equals connect pull down. Telnet mail. C equals connect pull down. E equals edit pull down. T equals terminal pull down. H equals help pull down. Telnet mail. OK. Enter mail. POP3 server ready.
Now we're connected, and as you heard it said, enter mail. POP3 server ready. I'll enter my username and password.
OK. Please send pass command. OK. Beckler is welcome here.
Now I typed a command called stat, or S-T-A-T. I'll briefly go through the commands in a minute, by the way, and it will tell me how many messages and how many octets, as it calls it, which is basically 8-bit bytes. As far as you're concerned, basically characters are total sitting in my mailbox. So I'll now hit enter.
OK, 10,154,192.
That means I have 10 messages for 154,192 characters. Now, I'm using this account because it's almost primarily all junk mail, so I don't really care if anybody hears it. I mean, you'd be amazed at the kind of things they try to sell me. Anything you can think of, I just checked this email account a few hours ago, and I already have 10 messages. So that gives you an idea of how much junk mail I get at this account, which makes it perfect for testing because I don't care about security for this review. But anyway, here are basically some commands. You have user. The user command is the first thing you type after you connect to your email server. And, of course, you follow that by your username. So in this case, I typed user space Beckler and hit enter, all lowercase. By the way, all of this, everything mentioned in this discussion is all lowercase. And unless I say otherwise, you can assume everything from here on out in these programs are lowercase. Then you type, please send pass command, pass being short for password. So you type pass, P-A-S-S, followed by a space and your password, which I won't mention here. And then you hit enter, and then it says something like hello or welcome or something like that, as you've heard. Then there are various commands you can enter, stat or statistics or S-T-A-T. Let me also just clarify, all email POP3 commands are only 4 letters. So if you type username or whatever, you get an error. You must only type user to send your username, pass to send your password, stat for statistics, and so forth. I'll try to clarify that better in the future. Anyway, you type stat and hit enter. And as you heard, it tells you the number of messages and octets, as it calls it. Some refer to it as that, some don't. It depends on the site and setup. And hit enter. You don't send any, give any arguments to that command. You just type stat and hit enter. Now, let's say I wanted to retrieve a message. I want to retrieve message number 1. Oh, also, one other thing you can do is you can type list. Again, that's simply L-I-S-T. I'll type that here. I'll type L-I-S-T and hit enter and listen to this.
Okay, 10 messages, 164,254, 245,887, 346, 16, 480, 388, 540, 29, 6, 11,723, 757, 038, 38, 89, 9, 20, 05, 10, 36, 98, dot.
Okay, basically what that means is I'll use the mouse cursor now to show you this a line at a time. Basically all those numbers were the message number, i.e. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc., followed by the number of characters in that message. So I'll hit the bottom right.
Bottom right.
And I'll hit the 8 key a few times. I'm just getting blank lines here. I'm still hitting the up arrow.
Dot.
There's the dot. The prompt command, by the way, is a dot. When you see a single period or dot on the screen, that's basically telling you can enter a command. I'll hit up arrow one more time.
10.36.98.
It's a little fast, but basically it said 10.36.98. That means it's message number 10, and it's 3,698 octets, or characters. So now to retrieve a message, you type RETR, followed by the message number. So I'll type RETR, space, and the number 1. And press enter. Now, one thing I'll caution you about is, as I said before, this scrolling thing. It will start talking, and you'll hear a whole bunch of message headers and things like this. But then, eventually, what will happen is you'll keep hearing the same lines repeated over and over and over again, because it only writes one line to the screen at a time, and that line is at the bottom. By the way, if you did not have Speak All on, it would not be saying any of this, because I would just look like a blank screen. I'm sure somebody can set up a set file to do this correctly, but since I don't really like the Windows Telnet client anyway, I'm not going to waste the effort. Now, when it gets done with this, I'll probably stop the message before you hear the whole thing, because it is a lot of headers and it is junk mail and all this, but I'll let you hear what it sounds like. Now I'll just hit enter a few times, and what you should get when you just hit enter by itself is a legal command, but I think what you'll probably get is, again, a bunch of garbage being repeated because of the scrolling problem. So anyway, I'll hit enter now. I've typed RETR, followed by a space, and 1 to retrieve the first message, and this is what it sounds like. Okay, for whatever strange reason, when I try to retrieve particularly long messages with eloquent speech, it gets a bunch of static and stuff. I don't know why. So what I've done is I've actually retrieved message number 9, which is only 2005, or slightly under 2K characters, so this should be able to read okay. This is obviously junk mail, and I'll just let you hear part of this here. So now I'm back in Telnet, and I've, instead of retrieving message 1, I've typed RETR space 9, and I'll hit enter.
BecklerMS.Sympatico.com, BecklerHome.com, BecklerEnrich.com, BecklerEarthlink.net, Promo3033930Yahoo.com, GetYourF.R.E.Mortgage quote today. 00006C46Hotmail.com, 00006C46Mail.Hotmail.com, 00006C46Mail.USA.net, 00006C46Mail.Yahoo.com.
Now, it did not read the whole message for some reason. I'm not sure why, but this is simply another part of the scrolling problem I was telling you about. WindowEyes does that for some reason, but you should have heard the basic idea. Obviously, it's a junk mail, and now I've tried hitting it again. Again, RETR, followed by space, 9, and I'll hit enter and see if maybe it works better this time.
Okay, 2005 octets. Return path 03030939yahoo.com. Message ID 00000D20E55000003$7000004$afcamx2.mail.yahoo.com to betchdyahoo.com content type text plain. We could cut your monthly payments in half. With 00006C46Hotmail.com 00006C46Mail.com.
And I stopped it here, and as you probably heard, it cut out again. It still did not read correctly. Now, I do have it set for normal as opposed to a maximized window, although I've tried before in the past to set it at maximized, and it really didn't seem to help. I think it's just something about WindowEyes in this particular Telnet client. But anyway, that is basically the bottom line of what Telnet can do. Even though it does not work very well for retrieving particularly long messages, you can pop on there real quick and say, oh, I have 10 messages, and go download them in your favorite email client, such as Eudora or Outlook Express. I personally use Eudora. Or you can say, for example, decide, oh, well, I only have one or two messages, and it isn't worth the bother or whatever. Now, also, you may send email out with Telnet, which I won't show you here because it is a security risk, and spammers do use this all the time. And I trust most of you out there, and this is main menu, but I don't want to propagate spam even more so than it already is, except to say that it is very similar to how you retrieve mail, only, again, there are four-letter commands, and you connect to your SMTP server and your special SMTP port. Now, one thing I did not mention, which I'll show you real quick here, is I'll hit the Alt key.
C equals connect pull down.
And I'll hit enter.
R equals remote system, dialog disabled.
And actually it won't let me do that because I have to disconnect. So
D equals disconnect. Menu closed.
There, I'm disconnected.
C equals connect.
And I'll try this again. I'll hit Alt and enter.
C equals R equals menu closed. Combo edit box. H equals hostname mail. Dialog connect graphic mail age equals host name telnet p equals port VT 100 t equals term type default c equals connect button cancel button.
Now, what I'm showing you here is this. First, you have your host name, which we have as
mail.
Mail, which is my mail server. Now hit tab.
Combo. Edit box. P equals port telnet.
It says telnet here, although the actual port is not telnet. But what I wanted to show you is this port box here. If you're the standard telnet port, again, this is getting a little technical, but you do need to know this if you want to actually check your email with telnet. The standard telnet port is port 23. The standard port for web pages, I will show you that briefly, is port 80. The standard port for FTP is 21, but actually FTP uses multiple ports, so that is very hard to do with telnet, although it can be done. Now, the standard port for most POP3 servers is port 110, or 110 or 110. So what I did is I put in mail here, and for the port I had to hit tab and enter 110 and hit enter, and then it opened my mail server called mail and connected to port 110. Now for the SMTP server you would enter port 25. 25 is the standard SMTP port. Other ports are listed. There's a file in your comes with part of Windows called Services. It's simply Services, no extension, and it lists other common things that you find on common ports and so forth. You can do finger, whois, time, and other things, all from telnet if you have the right port numbers and you have the correct time servers or finger servers or whois servers or what have you. Anyway, that will wrap up telnet for this program. But for the next program, I'll show you console telnet, which is a DOS mode program. Actually, it is not a DOS program, but it runs in a Windows DOS box. I'll explain more about that next week. You will need a DOS screen reader to use it, which I will be using Vocalize in my ZecTalk Express. And I can show you this a little better, and it won't cut out as much, and so forth, because it doesn't have the scrolling problem. But anyway, that's it for this week. This concludes this program in the main menu series on Telnet. If you'd like to contact me, please write to Main Menu, that's M-A-I-N-M-E-N-U, that's all one word, no spaces, at Bechler.net. That is spelled Bechler, B as in Bravo, A-E-C-H-L-E-R.net. Again, my name is Tony Bechler, and thank you for listening. Please, by all means, send any comments and suggestions.